Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Inside HSC. I'm Taylor Rogers.
And I'm Brandon Sermon.
And we are joined by a very special guest today, Dean Shafiq the Ramsey, professor and dean in the School of Public Health here at HSC. Welcome, Dr. the Ramsey.
Thank you very much. It's indeed a great pleasure to be here. I'm just approaching my seventh month as in service to this position as the new dean. And I'm just ecstatic to be here at HSC and to be with you.
We are so ecstatic to have you.
Indeed.
It has been a pleasure speaking with you just this morning in studio, getting to know you a little bit better. But we're going to go ahead and dive right into some of our questions about the School of Public Health. And actually, let's just go ahead and start. Let's start with you. So could you just take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself and then what motivated you to seek out this opportunity to become the dean of the School of Public Health here at HSC?
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to go way back. And I was born in Tanzania. My ancestors are from northern India, a place called Kutch. We migrated to Canada in 1976. I was 11 years old. I was first in my family to go to college. As a matter of fact, as a new immigrant, it wasn't expected. I was in the inner city. I was raised in the inner city. And kids from our neighborhood were not expected to go to college. So it was just a significant accomplishment for me and my family and for our community of immigrants to be able to go to college. I began my career as an inner-city school teacher. Coming to a new country and entering the school system, you quickly realize that your success is due to your teacher role models, those who care deeply about your success. And I found that. And so I wanted to be that person as I pursued a career in teaching. Ultimately, I went on to teach in a school like the one I attended. My students struggled daily with socioeconomic, cultural, language barriers. So I dedicated my work to creating an inclusive learning environment, you know, that fostered hope and fostered confidence and resilience. It enabled students to discover that they have a purposeful and impactful place in the world, just like my teachers did for me. Mm-hmm. I also noticed that poor health was adversely affecting my students' ability to learn. So I decided to go back to school, pursue my graduate work to really look into what were some of the root causes in places in North America. You know, we are one of the wealthiest geographical destinations in the world. Yet we have significant health inequities and health disparities, and so I wanted to get a better understanding of that. So my graduate work was interdisciplinary, and I focused on the intersection of health, education, ethics, and social epidemiology. And that's the path that has led me here today. As I was completing my doctoral work, and this was toward the end of the 1990s, just approaching the year 2000, I had an opportunity to return to East Africa, where I was born. My wife was born in Mombasa, Kenya, and it was an opportunity to be able to work across three countries, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, on an early childhood development and poverty alleviation project with the Aga Khan Development Network. What an opportunity. You know, my daughter was 8 months old at the time, and my son was 2 years old, and we thought, you know, when will we ever? We never dreamed we would have this opportunity, and you know, to be able to take our children back to our roots, because both our children were born in Canada, and that was life changing to be able to go back and do that. You know, the work that you do in those settings has a palpable and immediate impact on the lives of people. When you're working with communities who live in ultra poverty, where $1 to $2 a day is what they have to survive. I mean, that's unfathomable, unimaginable. And when you see your work having that impact, it's truly life-changing. And so for me, you know, I realized then that that was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. But When I went back to complete my dissertation and defend my doctoral work, the dean at the time of the dental school said, "Shafiq, you're back. You know, we'd love to have you back here to teach and to develop a global health focus in our curricula." And that was, I thought, okay. You know, on the one hand, I would like to bring the family back to Canada, have our children educated in the Canadian system. And so we decided to come back. It was a difficult decision for me professionally.
Right.
But for the family, it seemed to be the best thing to do. I established my academic career at the University of British Columbia, where I completed my master's and my PhD. And in 2015, after I was tenured, I was invited to come and help start a new osteopathic medical school in San Antonio, Texas. There's only one medical school in San Antonio. The second one was going to be situated in the lower half of San Antonio, where some of the poorest postal codes are.
Mm-hmm.
And the school was started by the University of the Incarnate Word, so they had a strong faith-based focus, a strong focus on health equity and social justice. And I thought, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to take a sabbatical and have the privilege to influence the beginning of a new medical school. You know, I was planning to return to Canada to resume my faculty position at UBC. And Dr. Diana Natalicio, the late Diana Natalicio, asked me to come and give a presentation at UTEP. And I discovered this wonderful university with this amazing architecture. University of Texas at El Paso has Bhutanese architecture, and it's situated right on the border of Mexico and the U.S. And I was very inspired by the president and by the work that they were doing. And so I accepted the responsibility to serve as the dean of the College of Health Sciences. I did that for 4 years. Unfortunately, Dr. Natalicio passed away. And that was a moment for me to reflect on, you know, what my future would be.
Sure.
And where I wanted to be moving forward. And this opportunity emerged. And it was an opportunity to come back full circle, you know, to my work with a focus on public health. The College of Health Sciences had clinical programs just like our health professions school here. It had public health. It had the School of Social Work, kinesiology. But I really wanted to spend, I think, you know, sort of the last part of my career really focused in on public health and focus on health equity and the health of our communities. And so that's what inspired me to think about this position. But I wasn't looking for a job. I was, you know, wanting to continue my pathway where I was seeking a calling,
right?
And the mission statement for the Health Science Center and the School of Public Health was deeply inspiring, creating solutions for a healthier community and transforming lives to improve the lives of others. And I thought, well, let me go and see if they truly walk the talk. And I found that here. Now, interestingly enough, the chair of the search committee for the new dean was Dr. Sylvia Trent Adams. And she wasn't the president then. And she was very inspiring. And all the people I met, the community partners who were also on the interview panel, I thought, there's something different here. And it took me back to my work in East Africa. And I thought, you know, I would find a strong sense of purpose and belonging here. It was a mission-driven, values-driven institution. And, you know, it's not common to find that. And so I said to myself, this is where I need to be. And I was hoping and praying that I would be seen as a candidate who would be the perfect fit. And so it's a real privilege to be here. And now that Dr. Trent Adams serves as our president, for me, it's sort of, you know, the stars have aligned. There was some divine intervention, I think, right from the outset. And, you know, moving forward, I want to continue to amplify the work that we do. focus on whole health, community engagement, to really have an impact, not just here in the region, but in the state and in the nation and around the world.
Wow. That was just the first question.
I know.
And I'm already feeling inspired just listening to your journey.
I know. It's a beautiful journey.
Right.
I have no idea. I'm so glad that we got to have you in studio today to talk about just all of this, you know, and that thank you very much for answering that question and doing so thoroughly. I think that a lot of our listeners, especially the ones who are considering careers in, you know, health professions or even public health, you know, there's your story is so broad that there's something in there that listeners can relate to. I immediately, as soon as you started talking, you know, I'm a former teacher, and so I definitely have a huge, huge heart for teachers. I know Brandon does too.
We've
discussed that extensively, and so thank you for sharing that story. That it's very inspiring, and there's got to be something in there relatable to a lot of our listeners, at least a piece, you know. And so you've just been on an incredible journey.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, today's generation. Today's generation is deeply committed to wanting to make a difference and make an impact. And I think that, you know, as long as we have that, we're in good hands with respect to our future.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, it has definitely been quite the journey that you've already experienced, a journey that ultimately has led you to this point. Where you've assumed this role as a professor and dean of the School of Public Health here at HSC. So it's been a few episodes since we've had anyone on from the School of Public Health. But if you would, remind our listeners what programs are offered in the School of Public Health and, you know, describe the curriculum and types of courses that we offer in SPH.
Indeed. I'd like to begin by saying that our school is accredited by the Council for Education in Public Health. We are just undergoing now our self-study. Our accreditation cycles go every 7 years.
Sure.
And so the next 7-year cycle is up. So we undertake an in-depth self-study. We talk to our students, our faculty, our colleagues, our community partners, employers about what we're doing very well, what we need to do differently to respond to the emerging needs of the 21st century. And so it's within that context that we've established all of our programs. Let me begin with our Master's in Health Administration, and that program prepares future leaders who really want to inspire meaningful change within the health system, within our communities. Those careers are in high demand and are situated in a range of different settings, leading hospitals as chief executive officers, leading community organizations, clinics, and so on. So that's, you know, a hidden gem within our school, and it's getting a lot of attention now because all of our graduates have gone on to really make a strong contribution in their careers, and employers are saying to us that of the graduates that they've hired from around the country, ours stand head and shoulders above. So we're doing something well to prepare them to be in that position. We also have a Master's of Science and a doctoral program, a PhD program in public health sciences to prepare future scholars, researchers who will continue to study some of the wicked problems that are communities, society, our populations face, and how to solve those problems. We have a graduate certificate in public health, which is a precursor to our master's in public health program, which has 4 concentrations. So we have the MPH in epidemiology. And, you know, epidemiologists study the causes, the distribution, how disease is transmitted, and how we can control and prevent disease. epidemiologists are in increasing demand now, mm-hmm. particularly post-pandemic.
Right.
And that's going to be a growing area of concentration in public health. We have an MPH in biostatistics and data science. Access to high quality and timely data is so critical to improving the health of our communities and to providing our communities with information that's needed to make good decisions about their health. Biostatisticians explain and predict health outcomes. They dive into the data. So if you like data, if you like statistics and mathematics, that's a field for you. We have an MPH concentration in maternal and child health here in Fort Worth and in many poorly resourced parts of the world. Maternal and child health outcomes are far too low.
Mm-hmm.
Maternal deaths and survival rates for newborns are unacceptably low around the world, and particularly in countries such as the United States and other high-income countries where that absolutely should not be the case. And so we need to take a deeper look at what are some of the broader systemic factors that lead to that poor health outcome. So that's a concentration that was developed specifically to address low maternal health, child health outcomes here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And lastly, we have an MPH concentration in public health leadership. So that's more of a generalist degree, and it's to equip our graduates with a set of interdisciplinary skills and knowledge across the board to tackle issues at the heart of population health, community health, health equity, and a range of different public health issues. So they do get a strong grounding, introductory grounding, and foundational courses in biostatistics, epidemiology, and many of the other factors that contribute to poor health outcomes. But it's more of a generalist concentration. So those are the range of different opportunities we offer our students for study.
There's a lot of them. There's so many options in the School of Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
So in your opinion, what are some of the most pressing public health issues facing the world today, and how is the HSC School of Public Health preparing its students to face those challenges?
That's a very good question. Let me just bridge my previous response with my response to this question. We did have a doctorate in public health. It's a doctoral degree, but with a focus on practice and a focus on implementation science. In other words, closing the know-do gap by being an expert in how to take the knowledge that we generate, that our PhD students generate and our researchers generate, and make sure that we're able to then apply that to improving the quality and conditions of life in our community. Now, we did sunset that program a few years ago, but there's a significant demand to bring it back. I've had alumni and professionals reach out to me to say, will you as a new dean consider bringing back the DRPH? Interestingly enough, I said I would be very excited to do that. And now our admissions folks are inundated with, well, when will that start? And so, that's going to take planning. We'll be doing a thorough needs assessment. But in response, that will be in response to the question that you asked. We need to have a deep and sophisticated understanding of what some of the most pressing public health challenges we currently face and will face in the 21st century. There's seven decades yet to go. And so that we need to develop new programs based on what we know and where we will be going. So over the last two centuries, U.S. life expectancy has more than doubled to almost 80 years, right? Generally, yet we still have significant disparities where we have populations that are not able to realize that life expectancy. The advancement in life expectancy has been due largely to public health advancements related to the causes, the detection and control of disease, right? Improvements in health policy related to sanitation, to clean water, better housing conditions, vaccines, of course, control of infectious disease, identifying, controlling in the spread of infectious disease, climate concerns, food inspections, better sewage systems, and other social improvements. That's what's caused directly the improvement and advancement in the doubling of life expectancy. Again, we still have significant pockets of communities that don't have access to clean water, to proper housing, and so on. And that's what we want to address. There are several key opportunities and challenges for public health now and into the future. And I look at the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals to identify, you know, what some of those emerging challenges will continue to be. So I've identified a handful of areas that I think that we need to pay attention to. Diversity is one of them. The U.S. is more diverse and multicultural and multiracial today than it's ever been. By 2040, the entire nation will be a majority-minority population. Six states are already there. Texas is one of them. Yet our public health workforce has too little resemblance to the diverse populations we serve. And that leaves many feeling excluded and marginalized. So we're going to need to amplify our efforts to recruit diverse teams of students, of faculty, of staff. And that's diversity in all its forms, you know, diversity in our worldviews and the way we think. Diversity in terms of how we see solutions to problems, diversity in terms of our life experiences, our ethnic backgrounds, diversity in terms of race and gender. And so that's going to be critically important if we're going to be able to serve a diverse population into the future. Aging is another significant area of focus that I think it appears that, you know, we're not seeing that. You know, you hardly hear about aging as an area that we need to pay attention to. By the year 2030, I would say just around the corner, the number of people over 60 will increase by 56% globally. So currently from 900 million to 1.5 billion, right? Wow. The number of Americans over the age of 65 is expected to double from roughly 50 million today to nearly 100 million by 2060. So the epidemiologic implications of this will certainly have a significant impact on how we prepare our public health workforce to respond with a sophisticated level of knowledge, what will be emerging needs for a healthier aging population, and the generational, perhaps, gaps in worldviews, in expectations, in what quality of life means, what conditions of life we will need to be able to create for successful and healthy aging. Another area that we need to be thinking about is global public health. You know, we live in an interconnected world, and so we must continue to globalize our curricula across the health professions, but particularly in public health, so that we can foster cultural humility and prepare our graduates to have a deeper understanding of the connection between local issues and global issues. And I don't use the term global synonymously with international, right? And so global is, you know, it's like dropping a small stone on one end of the lake and then seeing the rippling effects, you know, all the way to the other end of the lake. So that's an area that I'm deeply committed to, given my own background and life's work. around the world. The next area that I think we need to pay very, very close attention to is mental health, mm-hmm. right? Major depression has increased among our adolescents and young adults. Suicide deaths have risen nationally to more than 30% since 1999, when the School of Public Health was founded. Major depression is projected to be the leading global public health concern by 2030. Mm. And so we really need to have a concerted effort across sectors, not just the health sector, right? This is, I think, an area that we need to focus on across all of the sectors, because what is it that, we are the human race. And so this is something that's impacting each and every one of us, regardless of your background, your beliefs, your ethnicity, your race, your age, your gender. It's an area that we really need to be concerned about. And lastly, let me say climate concerns. You know, those will continue to be a significant public health focus into the future. We need to figure out how we're going to protect our world from increasing levels of drought, of food insecurity, and extreme weather conditions that we're seeing more than we ever have. And so that's an area that I think that we need to come together as policymakers, researchers, educators, and professionals to address. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts on the incredible challenges that mm-hmm. we'll be facing from a public health perspective. I want to kind of segue off one of your comments that you said earlier in our conversation about closing that no-do gap. And it's very important, of course, to acquire all the knowledge that you can, but it's also equally important to be able to apply that knowledge in real-world settings. So that leads me to this question. How is the School of Public Health here at HSC ensuring that students are receiving practical experience in addition to their classroom-based education?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And as a former school teacher and then as a professor who continues to teach, for me, transformation is the word that I use in the mm-hmm. classroom, right? You might have seen that image where there's a face, but within the face there are embedded two images, mm-hmm. right? And I'm thinking about that image of a face where you see, depending on when you first look at it, you might see an older woman, mm-hmm. right? And others who might look at that same image will see a younger woman, and then it takes time before you can see the two different perspectives, right? And so for me, when people ask me, what does education mean to you? I say it's not only preparing our students, our future generations, to see the world differently within the context of, for example, some of those, the handful of challenges that I described in my previous response. And so not just to have that theoretical perspective, not just to create those aha moments, and you've had those, right? Remember a time when we thought the world was flat. And so we thought and behaved in ways as if the world was flat. And then, no, it's not flat. And so we had to not only be able to see the world differently, but to be in it differently. What good is your knowledge if it's not going to be used to improve the quality and conditions of life in the world? And so that, to me, is transformation and transformative education. And that's, what I want to amplify within the School of Public Health. We're developing a high-impact educational practice initiative, and that's where we prepare our faculty to engage our students in multiple learning initiatives, right? It's not just teaching. It's focusing on learning. And so it's not filling an empty vessel, but engaging our students in solving real-world problems. you know, our future generations are depending on us to prepare a future public health workforce that will be competent and capable of addressing some of these pressing problems and inequities that exist here at home and around the world. To that effect, our students receive extensive hands-on experience through their internships and are highly sought after by employers. We're one of few schools of public health around the country that provide up to 600 internship practice hours in the community, in community organization, in a range of different settings for our students. Now, our students don't always realize how important that is, you know, and they sometimes think that that's an inordinate amount of time to spend bridging the no-do gap. But once they graduate, they realize that we know poverty is bad for your health. We don't need another research study to tell you that. But we need to prepare our students to understand the lived experience of many of these disparities, how our communities experience sort of, you know, disinvestment the experience of vulnerability because you live in a food desert or you don't have access to adequate health care or there isn't a public health effort in your community. And that experience can, you know, that knowledge can only come when you're embedded in that community, undertaking hands-on initiatives, working alongside the community to address those challenges. And so, you know, it's a type of education that I think is essential. And you find that type of education in the clinical world. Right. And if you look at your, you know, physicians, dentists, PAs, nurses, PTs, OTs, a significant portion of their education is bridging theoretical knowledge with clinical practice. And so it's that same level of intensity that we want to bring to the School of Public Health.
Very good. So my next question for you is actually two parts. So first, what advice would you give to someone who's interested in pursuing a career in public health? And second, what advice would you give to a prospective student who's interested in pursuing one of our programs here in the School of Public Health at HSC?
Indeed. You know, my daughter is she's enrolled. She returned to Canada to pursue her public health master's. You know, and my son is just completing his final year of medical school. Match day is coming up next week. And so I know that, you know, our students, our parents are all, you know, just deeply invested in the, you know, what will my future be? What career pathway do I want to take? And I think that, you know, during your undergraduate studies, I would encourage students to explore a range of different possibilities, you know, not to really commit to any one thing. Take the opportunity also outside of your formal education, you know, to give of your time and spend time in a range of different settings, right? Whether it's in the classroom, if you're thinking about being a teacher, or whether it's in any one of the sectors, whether it's health or other industry or public service, teaching, if you want to be a scientist, you need to take the time to be in those settings so that you can have a better sense of, you know, what that would look like for you. I look for students who have developed a deep understanding of the professional pathway that they want to pursue, who've taken the time during their undergraduate work or, you know, through just the type of work experience that they seek out to make sure that that aligns with the possible direction that they want to take into the future. We also know that, you know, our future generations are going to change careers anywhere between 5 to 7 times. My goodness. And mm-hmm. if you look at me, you know, I began my university education in 1989, right? And you, my pathway has been so different from a traditional pathway. Mm-hmm. And I think moving forward, students are going to be changing careers. So they need to have a clear sense of what really drives, what really inspires them, what are they passionate about. And if public health is that pathway, then to develop an understanding of the broader factors that influence health outcomes. We know that access to clinical medicine, right, only accounts for about 20%, 20 to 30% of health outcomes. I think that that's that ought to be really eye-raising for many of us, right? 70 to 80% of health outcomes are based on where you live, your zip code, right? Based on the environment in which you grow up in, whether you have access to a good education, health literacy, healthy foods. We can't take that everyone for granted that everyone has equal opportunity for that, right? Some of the basics of life. And so to have a deep understanding of health outcomes, health disparities, health equity, quality and conditions of life. And if you have a passion to influence change in that direction, then you will pursue a career in public health. There are many who pursue first, you know, the clinical professions and then realize that because health outcomes are so heavily influenced by all of these other factors, they do joint degrees in public health and clinical health. And so that's also a significant option. But there's nothing that prevents teachers from doing an MPH, social workers from doing an MPH. Because I think for the future, we're going to need experts and professionals who are interprofessional, interdisciplinary, to be able to solve some of the significant challenges that that our society will face. And it'll prepare them for different career pathways right. along the way.
And I want to stay in that same vein of your last comment there. In the future, we will need individuals that are interprofessional and really multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And so speaking of that future, the School of Public Health here at HSC has been in existence for over 20 years now. In your opinion, what direction is the school headed in over the course of the next 20 years?
Indeed. You know, it's fascinating how without a strong grounding in history, it's going to be very challenging to plan for the future. And I'm glad that you're thinking in generational terms almost 20 mm-hmm. years. And I know President Sylvia Trent Adams also thinks in, you know, 25-year sort of segments, right? And it's how do we plant the seeds today? Or, you know, how do you retill the soil so that it will produce you know, the fruits mm-hmm. That will, you know, nourish us over the next generation. And so that's a very good question that you've asked. So, you know, I'm going to look back and I'm inspired by the words of Oscar Handlin, who was a professor at Harvard. And I think he was 50 years ago. He said that our troubled planet can no longer, and I'm paraphrasing now, sure. mm-hmm. our troubled planet can no longer afford the luxury pursuits confined to an ivory tower. You know, the work that we do in higher education, in research institutions, in teaching, if they remain in the ivory tower, it will be of no use to the world, right? And he went on to say, something to the effect that our work, our research, our teaching has to prove its worth, not on its own terms, but by service to the nation and the world, right? And so as we begin looking 20 years ahead, we need to ensure that the curriculum of today will be nimble, adaptable to withstand the test of time, right? We really want to here in the School of Public Health focus on developing a workforce that has a global orientation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The work will be rooted locally, but will be embedded in issues that impact the world, right? So think global, act local, right? We also want to be able to prepare a workforce that will be mobile. We know today's generation wants to be mobile, right? And so we need to provide them with a grounding that will in knowledge that will have universal elements to them, yet making sure that we're preparing graduates here in Fort Worth to first and foremost address the significant challenges that our communities here face. And so, you know, we want to evolve our curriculum and our program so that our students will have opportunities to go anywhere within our country and around the world for global field work experiences, right, where they might undertake projects. For example, look at the derailment, the train derailment in Ohio. Mm-hmm. You know, our students, I mean, that's not something that's going to be, you know, those types of tragedies could happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. You look at the Flint, Michigan water crisis. We need to make sure that we provide opportunities for our public health students to be working with students, you know, from these other areas side by side with experts so that they can learn how to respond to some of these crises. Right. And so that's a type of learning environment that we really want to create over the next 20 years here in the School of Public Health to be able to deploy our students to places where when there is a crisis, they can be on the ground supporting experts and by the same token, learning from those experts on how to respond. I want our PhD students to be able to carry out research wherever there's a problem that needs to be solved. And it's that type of focus that I think over the next 20 years we need to have. We will also need to prioritize and amplify our community partnerships to solve challenging problems. We can no longer be looking at our communities as entities, you know, as experts. We don't want to do to communities. We want to do with communities. That means the research questions that we develop need to come from problems that our communities are facing. They need to be informing what work we will do so that it's in direct response to improving the quality and conditions of life in those communities. We also want to be trusted, transformative, and collaborative partners across different sectors so that we can address health inequities. And that means going out of the ivory tower to make those connections, you know, educating our students in the community, having our researchers embedded in the communities to understand problems so that our research questions are directly responsive to that. And if you notice now, on our School of Public Health website, we're identifying ourselves as a socially accountable, community-centric School of Public Health, right, in response to the needs of our community, both locally and around the world, right, and elsewhere. So, you know, that's our aspiration moving forward. And I just feel very privileged to be given the opportunity to really help lead us in that direction and to work hand in hand with all of our stakeholders, our faculty, our students, our staff, our community partners, my colleagues across HSC and across other universities to really have this type of transformative impact so that we can truly create opportunities to solve problems and create solutions for healthier communities by transforming lives to improve the lives of others.
Wow. That's it. That's the soundbite right there.
There it is.
There it is. Well, I will definitely say that, and I am a little biased, I do have to admit, because I know our listeners have heard me say this before, but the School of Public Health, I'm always biased towards the school because they are the reason that I'm here at HSC to begin with. And so it has been incredible to see the work that has been done in the School of Public Health since I've been a part of HSC, and I am anxiously awaiting to see all of the work that has yet to come forth and yet to be done as we move forward. Of course, under your leadership with the School of Public Health, and just not only under your leadership, but I just think this is a great time for HSC as a whole. With, of course, the newly inaugurated President, Dr. Sylvia Tritt Adams. And just it's a great time to be here and to hear you talk about the importance of embedding yourself in the community. And also speaks to some of the fruit we've already seen from the leadership on the system level with UNT under Dr. Williams. And our new values, one of which is better together.
Absolutely.
So it's just great to be able to witness. It's also great to be a part of all of this. Everyone has a role to play, and I'm so glad that Taylor and I are here to play our roles and our parts. And so we want to thank you for joining us today on this recording. It has been a true pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And if our listeners want to learn more about the School of Public Health, please feel free to visit our website at unthsc.edu. And you can definitely learn more about the incredible activities, initiatives, engagement, and just all around happenings that are going on with the School of Public Health. If you're interested in applying to any one of the programs that we've discussed today in the School of Public Health, you can contact our admissions and recruitment office at unthsc.edu/admissions, and you can contact them via email at admissions@unthsc.edu or via phone at 817-735-2003. So until next time, I'm Brandon Sermon.
And I'm Taylor Rogers.
And we'll see you next time on the next episode of Inside HSC.